So, Father, we just thank you for another night to come together and in fellowship. And we just ask you just bless this evening, Lord. And just bless anybody that has anything to bring forward and let it edify you. And we just thank you that our equipment's going to work perfectly, that the connections are going to work perfectly, that there's going to be no interference or distractions. And Lord, let us just guide and direct us tonight, Lord. And we just praise you for that. We just call tonight just an awesome, blessed night in fellowship. And we praise you for that. Amen. So, well, welcome everybody. And it's glad to have you guys. And I'm doing well today. I'm just had a great day in the Lord. Was kind of challenged in a Bible study. I'm going to mute you, Linda. That's all right. And so I just want to open up and let's open up in prayer. As far as anybody have anything to pray about, need prayer, or want to pray for somebody, let's open it up like we usually do. Amen. Well, I know, Chris, do you want to?
Sure.
Want to bring forward? Kind of explain the situation.
I got a call from a former pastor friend of mine this afternoon. He had a prayer request. It's a sensitive prayer request. He asked, I prayed, and I'm asking the brothers and sisters of the fellowship this evening to join me. I'm praying for a young lady. Her name is Elizabeth. She is currently incarcerated and is facing some fairly serious charges, and she's also being bombarded by some pretty significant demonic spirits. So if y'all would just join me in prayer that I don't know much of the situation. I just ask you, brothers and sisters, to join me in prayer for this young lady. And also for the people that are asking for the prayer request as well.
So why don't you go ahead and start off in prayer, and then we can join in.
Sure. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so that we can come together and join our faith together. And Father, that we can pray for your elect one by one if necessary. Father, we lift up this young lady to you this evening who is incarcerated. We pray, Father, that you'll work in her life, that you'll show her the error of her ways, Father, that you'll give her a repentant heart. Heavenly Father, I pray that the spirits of addiction and drugs and alcohol and whatever else is afflicting her, Father, I pray that you'll stop them right now in the name of Jesus, and that she will be able to she'll have eyes to see and ears to hear what someone of faith may share with her. Father, I also pray for her family, that they will seek you in this time of trial for this young lady. Father, I also would like to lift up to you this group of individuals that has passed on the prayer request. Father, I pray that the revival will come, and it will come now. Thank you, Father, for working on our lives, Father, and I pray that we'll be a light to each and every person that we come into contact with. And I thank you, Father, for the teaching and the learning that's going forth from this fellowship in UBM, and I pray that you will bless the folks that are working so diligent to bring the word forth. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Tim, you might want to unmute before you talk.
Thanks, Michael.
Just saying.
Now, there was a siren going down the street. I muted myself, so I apologize. So, Father, right now, I just lift up this former pastor of Chris's, and Lord, you know his heart. You know why he called Chris, and why this door seems to be opening, or these communications are opening, Lord. And I just pray that if his heart is pure, that you just just open up that door and open up the door to truth and open up the door for Chris to share just the miracles of God and his walk. And if there's an agenda behind it, Lord, we just ask you to just close that door, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord, and that he's calling out to another brother that he knows is a prayer warrior. And Lord, we lift up Elizabeth to you. And we thank you, Lord, for a miracle. We thank you that you're going to grant her repentance, that you're going to set her free from whatever addiction she's under, whatever demon she's under, set her free from those tormentors, Lord. And Father, we pray that you're just going to do an amazing miracle in her life, Lord, and that you're going to get the glory and not man. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that answered prayer and that miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else want to pray, have somebody to pray for or need prayer?
Lord, we all just took up our faith with Chris and his pastor for Elizabeth. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work there in the place where she is, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you because we know it's already been done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Michael Montana, would you want to lift up your brothers in Panama that are under persecution down there and let us kind of join in with you? Has there been any updates in that?
I haven't been able to connect with them. I don't know what's going on down there, but it's David and Andrew and the families. And Heavenly Father, I do pray for the brothers that are down there, and David and Andrew and their families. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd give them a strong backbone in the spirit to stand unmoved by what people are doing and not to defend themselves, Lord God, but to look to you for their defense. And I pray you give them ability, Lord God, not to be moved emotionally or spiritually or physically in any way by what the adversary wants to throw at them. I just pray for encouragement for these brethren and their families in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're going to do a mighty work in them, Lord.
Amen, Lord. We thank you so much for your protection upon them as well, Lord. And we thank you for your warrior angels standing around them, fighting the battle for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else have anybody on their hearts they want to bring up for prayer or need prayer? I want to lift up my sister. I got a text. It was probably about a week ago, and said that she wasn't doing well, and it's really over the death of my mom, and that she was going to call me, and I kept texting her and she never called me, and then yesterday she texted me and said that she's just been basically crying 24/7. That my mom was her best friend, and now that she's gone, she's lost her best friend, and she's in a major state of mourning. And I expected to kind of see this right after my mom passed, but she seemed, when I was around her, she seemed real strong. And I didn't know what she was dealing with or anything like that, but now she's just got this spirit of grief on her. And I really haven't talked to her. She won't answer the phone. All she'll do is text me. So I offered to have her, come spend a week with me and let me love on her, pray for her. And, and yesterday she said that she would want to do that. The other thing is if she follows through with that. So, but I just want to lift her up right now. So, Father, I lift up my sister Kelly to you, and she said she's not doing well emotionally, and she's been grieving and crying, and Lord, you know what's going on in her. And Lord, right now I come against the principalities and powers that have got her locked into these emotions. And Lord, we just ask that you just help her to get her eyes on you, that you give her a dream. You speak to her through dreams, that you'll give her a dream about opening up her Bible and, you know, just seeking you. And Lord, we just ask you just put that on her heart to seek you, to get her through this time. And Lord, if she's supposed to be here, just bring her here. If she's not supposed to be here, I just ask you to close the door. And Lord, I just, I care for my sister, but I just want to be led of you. And I just thank you, Lord, for just doing, just helping her in this time of mourning and grieving, and help her to just get set free and get her eyes on you. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else have anybody to pray for or need prayer? How about any praise reports? Anything you want to brag on God or anything that's answer prayer that you've seen? All right. Any other, yeah, I guess, does anybody, I mean, this is kind of your time, and does anybody have any revelation the Lord's been showing them, anything on their heart? Any thoughts?
Yeah, Tim, it's Gail.
Hey, Gail.
Hi. It seemed to me that that when I thanked the Lord for the healing, even though I'm not, I didn't feel like a whole lot of belief. You know, of course, I wasn't physically, I didn't see it, right? But I kept thanking for healing. And the more, even though it seemed like a little schizophrenic, right? you're thanking for something you're not seeing, right? I kept doing it. And it seemed like the belief grew from doing that. Is that other people's experience?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a personal experience that just happened to me. And last Tuesday, I asked for prayer because I could feel like cold symptoms coming on, sinus symptoms coming on and stuff like
right.
that. And so what happened was, is then yesterday I woke up and I had kind of a scratchy throat and my nose started running and I just started rebuking it.
Yeah.
And I started just coming against it and stuff like that. And honestly, by the end of the day, I was at a point where I could not breathe. I went to bed last night and I could not breathe. And I don't have anything in the house as far as for colds or anything like that. The Lord has always, you know, just healed me in that. But I was at a point last night, if I had some type of decongestant or something like that, I probably would have dug through the drawers to find it because I was absolutely miserable. And so what happened was, is I decided to get up and I just went in and took a hot shower. And this was, you know, late last night. And I just started praying in the spirit. I just started praising the Lord. I started just praising him. And I was just, you know, church was kind of laughing at me because it was like midnight and I'm in the shower just praising the Lord and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, I felt something break in my head. And all of a sudden, I could breathe. I could, you know, it was awesome. Then I just started thanking him. And I went to bed last night, and I slept through the night. I got up this morning, and I felt like I was totally healed. I had no symptoms, anything like that. I got up early. I went out, took care of the chickens, and then I came in, and I got into the Word, and all of a sudden, I had like an itchiness in my nose, and I sneezed, and all of a sudden, my sinuses started all over again. And it was like I was back into the battle. And I was like, nope, I don't accept this. And I just started rebuking it. And you know, then it lifted again. So I just saw it was a trial of my faith. And right now I feel great. I mean, I'm healed. But it was, you know, it's just, you know, you go through these tests. But sometimes you just got to praise the Lord in every trial. And at the same time, while I'm going through it, I'm asking him, is there any cause for the curse? Because I've had situations where things have come on me, and I thought I was right with the Lord. And in that trial, he's shown me where I had a little judgment towards somebody, you know, a little attitude or something like that. And then I'll just kind of, you know, bring it to repentance and then, you know, just make sure my heart is, you know, clear, and then just start, you know, praising and thanking him for, you know, the manifestation. So does that help at all?
Sorry. Yeah. I've done that. Like I sat and asked to be shown what it is I need, what's preventing the healing. You know, what is it that I'm holding, or maybe I don't really want to be healed. I mean, that's always a possibility. You know, you don't realize that. So I've done that because I know that you can prevent the healing from, you know, your sinning, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting to me was it's like two things couldn't be going on in me at the same time. I couldn't both be having just, you know, so much faith in the healing and be thanking for the healing. They couldn't. I wasn't able to do that. Something had to let go.
Yeah, that was probably a little bit of your flesh in there saying, what are you doing? What are you, you know, he didn't want you praising for, you know, but that's what faith is calling the things that are not as though they are, you know.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want you walking in faith. He says, you know, what are you, an idiot? You're not, you know.
Yeah.
You're still in pain or, you know, whatever it is. But
right.
no, that's, you know, that's the flesh because he doesn't want that healing to manifest, and he doesn't want you to grow closer to the Lord.
No. What I was saying was, I couldn't both be thanking for my healing and not having the faith. So what I'm saying is, as I was thanking, I was being I'm grateful for a healing. The faith grew.
Right, so what you're saying, by thanking him, that is faith.
Yes.
And as you continue to thank him, your faith grew.
Yes, that's what seemed to be happening, exactly, yeah. So that's not uncommon, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was really, the last Tuesday was such a help. I don't know, you could talk about faith for two solid hours, and that's what I like to hear about. All right. I was remembering a story. It might have been David Eel's Mary's wife, his wife. She heard the Lord ask her if she believed she was healed. Why did she still have the pills? And she threw them in the toilet and was healed at that moment. Was that Mary? Anyway.
Yeah, that's wife Mary.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, that could be a foolish act. You know what I mean? You couldn't do something, I would imagine, against the amount of faith you have, don't you think? But I think if you have enough faith, you realize it, and you can. It's the last step. You know, you're ready. You can do it. You can throw them out, throw the pills out. You know.
Right. No, it's a foolish thing. If the Lord is showing you to do that, then it's not foolish.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's a foolish thing is if you're in works, and you think that you're going to get your healing if you throw out your pills.
Exactly, I understand.
That's very dangerous.
Right.
But if you've got the faith that you are healed and you feel that the Lord is leading you not to take those pills, then that, because you're walking in faith, is that's the difference.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Thank you. Okay, thanks again. Okay.
Does anybody else have any testimonies as far as on believing and, you know, praising the Lord and growing in faith?
Kim?
Yes, Linda?
Well, I was just thinking, what happened to me was the doctor said that I had a dead thyroid. And so my faith at that point was, I said, okay, God, I will take this little pill that he gives me, that he told me I'd have to take this little pill the rest of my life. So since my husband wasn't here, I said, okay, Father, I'm going to take this little pill until the doctor tells me I'm healed, you know, because I knew it was my right to be healed. Then during the time, I said, thank you for healing me, you know, for 3 months. And so when I went back to the doctor, he took another blood test and said, well, you don't have to take this little pill anymore. And so that's what I needed, you know, in my case. And so, because when your thyroid is dead, you don't feel anything. There's no way you can tell one way or the other. I felt great the whole time. And so, but it is foolish to stop taking your medicine unless you have a word from the Lord. I didn't. And so I just thought I would add this to help our little friend, you know that that's, you know, wise thinking, because a lot of people are presumptuous and they have died, you know, unnecessarily. So anyway, that's what happened to me, and I just wanted to add that.
No, that's a good point, because the Lord met you at your faith, and you had faith to take that little white pill until you were told by the doctor that you were healed, and you were trusting in the Lord to heal you, not that little white pill, because you were told that that little white pill you had to take the rest of your life. It wasn't going to heal you. It was just going to, you know, do something for the symptom. That's why you'd have to take it, but you were trusting the Lord to heal you.
Yeah.
Yes, I was just so thankful, you know, and it really taught me that God, my faith was working, that my old man was dead, and everything we do when we speak God's word, it just works. And so she can remember that she's her old man's dead, so her words, if they're lined up with the word of God, will always work in God's time.
Amen. Amen. And that's the other key point, is it's, you know, it is in the Lord's time. Anybody else?
I can tell you how I overcome my high blood pressure with the Lord. It was
okay.
Bad. This was before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I'd been listening to UBM. And, of course, they talk about healing and faith. And of course, I listened also, like Gail, to David's wife's testimony about giving up her pills. And I thought, well, you know, I'd been on high blood pressure pills for, like, that by that time, over 10 years. And I really didn't like taking them because, they'd affect you. They, you know, mess with you a little bit. I mean, one whole year they had me on one blood pressure pill and a headache every day. And I finally said, you know, I read up on it, realized, oh, it said that drug would give you headaches, and that's what it was doing. So I had to change that out. And I just, you know, I got tired of taking these drugs. But after listening to the UBM, I thought, okay, I'll try it. I just thought, you know, by faith, I'm healed. I'll just claim it, and I quit taking it. And it took me about, it was a real good battle. It was like a 3-week battle. The first few days was just miserable. I felt like my head was going to pop off. But I just kept on saying, no, I just don't receive this. You know, God, you said I'm healed by your 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes you are healed. Like, if I'm claiming that. And probably by about the third week, you know, it was starting to ramp down, but it had just come on me, and I would rebuke it. Then all finally just broke. It was gone. And then about a year later, I went in and I had a physical for some reason. I don't know why I went in there for something. I think I was still, you know, battling different things. I had a cold or something, or a sinus infection. And they took my blood pressure, and they said, oh, it's a little high. And I said, no, it can't be. Check it again. And they checked it. They said, oh, yeah, it's normal. So, you know, even then, it was a test to see whether or not I was going to get in and go back on the high blood pressure pills. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. No way. I said, that can't be true. And so it's just, you know, I'm not saying I have victory at everything I've been trying to overcome, but that was my biggest battle, and relying on the Lord to get me healed over something. And it wasn't an instantaneous. It was a struggle. But I had to just hold on and not give up. It's just like fasting. I noticed the first week I went for the fast, for the first 5 days, I felt bad. I just, you know, disoriented. Just everything about it was just, you know, whatever, it was poisons or something coming out, but I didn't feel that great, and I felt hungry all the time. The second time I went 7 days, and it wasn't as bad, but even then I ended up calling Michael and getting some prayer because I was, you know, going through some more spiritual struggles. And this last time I just went through like almost a 5-day one again. And I just towards the end of the fifth day I started getting hungry, but other than that I didn't feel bad. So I think it's everything. You're just battling your flesh all the time. You know, and the more you challenge it and stand up to it, it starts to back down. And plus you have the Lord, of course you're playing the Lord. I'm not taking away from the Lord on this. Yeah.
No, it is. It's battling the flesh. And even when you went in and they checked your blood pressure and said it was a little high and you said, no, it's not, check it again. I mean, that was your faith. And at that point, it went back to normal. And so that's, you know, sometimes we get tried in those little things, or the enemy tries to use doctors or whatever it is to test your faith. And, but, you know, we just, you know, when you stand strong, and you know, God will meet you where you're at as far as that. And just like, you know, fasting and everything else, your flesh does not want you fasting. Your flesh does not want you getting victory over healing or getting a victory in, you know, anything. And it's gonna fight you tooth and nail the whole way. But the more you know, you die, you put that old man to death, then the less he, you know, he's there to, you know, try to undermine what, you know, what you're doing. So, amen. All right, anybody else have a testimony about healing, faith, praising?
Well, yeah, boy, there have been many cases, as far as I'm concerned, when, like you, Tim, I wake up in the morning just here in the last little bit, and I would feel that scratchy in my nose or in my my throat, and itching in my ears, and I'd rebuke it. I'd say, no, I'm not going to accept this in Jesus' name. I'm a child of God. I don't have to. I'm not under the curse, and I don't have to accept it. So I command you in the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave my body now. And you know, I get to going, doing stuff around the house here, whatever, and then I'd notice that it was gone. Praise God. And that's when you go ahead and get back in the rest, that God's going to take care of it. And you forget about it and go on and do what you got to do. There's been mornings that, man, I didn't want to get up out of bed. I felt so bad, but I went ahead and rebuked it, and got up, and boy, and the next thing you know, it was gone. And so, yeah, it's all a trial of our faith. So what we do with it, are supposed to do with it as a child of God, is rebuke it and believe that God has taken it from you, and just go and do what you got to do. And forget about the natural feelings and all of that stuff that goes along with it at times, and just go on and start praising God like Tim and David and all of them have done. It'll leave you. I'm telling you, it'll leave you. It'll go. And that's just and my glasses, when I heard David's testimonies, I had trouble seeing far off and close up. There was a place out there that I could see pretty good, but I couldn't see a distance and I couldn't see close up. And I had bifocals and wore them for years. And I heard David's testimony. I said, well, my goodness, if David can do it, God will do it for David. I know he'd do it for me too. And I just put the glasses up in the top of the dresser and never wore them again. Went and started reading my Bible, which I couldn't do before without my bifocals. And I just sit there and look at that Bible until it focused up. And it did fairly quick. You know, I'd say, now, eyes, you line up with the Word of God, because I need to read this Word. I need to get this Word in my heart. And ain't but one way I can do it, and that's to read it. So I'm commanding you now to clear up. And you know, my eyes just focused in on that Bible. It was just a regular 9 font Bible, a number 9 font Bible, old Star Bible. And it focused in, and it stayed focused in, and I was able to read, and I'm able to read now, still able to read. Every now and then, it'll come back on me or try to come back on me, and I said, nope. I'll put that Bible in front of me, and I said, now you clear up in the name of Jesus. And you know, I might have to sit there for a minute or so, but it'll eventually clear up, and I'm able to read it. So it's just a matter of persevering and enduring in your faith to see it happen. And you got to know that it's going to happen. It's happened to me so many times that I know when I command it to clear up, it's going to clear up. It's just going to do it. Praise God. And that's the attitude that we all have to have. If you're healed, how do you react? I've heard David say that a number of times. What is going to be your actions to let God know that you're healed? Are you going to go ahead and get back in bed and pull the covers over your head and poor me kind of deal? Or are you going to get back up out of that bed and praise God for your healing? That's what he loves people with great faith. And he gives us the faith. We just have to exercise it and act on it. Amen. And, you know, I could sit here all night and tell you stories about the kids, my grandkids. Many times I prayed for them. Now, kids, they'll just receive it. They'll just receive it. And I prayed for them for colds. I prayed for them for headaches. I prayed for them for all kinds of things, you know. And they'd believe and they'd get healed. And they understand faith. But that's what we have to do. We have to just stand in it and make sure that we rest in the Lord, that he's doing it. Amen.
Amen. Now, that's so true, because I've seen in my walk that certain things, like if I get a headache or a toothache or sometimes I get, you know, like a pain in my gut or something like that, I'll just rebuke it and not think another thing of it, and it'll go. I've had a situation where I get a pain in my lower leg, and this thing just pops up every once in a while and just starts aching, and I do the same thing. I rebuke it, and you know, it might not go right away, but let's say by the next day it's not there, and then it might be, you know, a week or two, and all of a sudden it comes back, and I'll just rebuke it. And I've been fighting this thing for months. I don't even know how long it's been now. It's probably been six months, and it's like a test, you know. And you know, the enemy is just trying to get you to get a little bit of doubt in the situation. I remember a little ways back, one morning I was just flossing my teeth before I went to bed, and a little piece of my tooth came off while I was flossing it, and it was like it just caught me by surprise. And all of a sudden, I went down the trail of, well, you know, what's going on? Are my teeth rotting away? Am I going to lose my teeth? And, you know, I took the bait, and I went into this mind works and confusion and all this stuff, and doubt was starting to come in and that. And then finally, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I just had to stop and just press in and just get back into the faith, because that's exactly what the enemy was trying to do. Was, you know, God's healed everything else. He can't take care of a little, you know, little piece of tooth or something like that. I mean, it was actually behind my tooth, because he can't even see it or anything like that. But it was just that bait that the enemy needed to bring in a little bit of doubt and get me out of faith. And then I just, you know, luckily I was able to stop, take my thoughts captive, get my eyes on the Lord, not the situation, and get back into the faith and get back into the rest. So, you know, from time to time, you know, things come or you repeat, but it's just building your faith, because stuff that used to bother me, I just know the Lord's already taken care of it. It's done. Like headaches, it's just like as soon as the headache comes on, I can rebuke it and it's gone. It seems like such an easy thing now. where, you know, in the beginning that was very difficult. I'd always want to run and get the bottle of Excedrin, you know, because that's where my faith was at the time. So, but now it's kind of neat. And that's all part of this walk. You know, he's just training us up. Amen.
Yeah, I had another testimony today I'd forgotten about because the pain's gone. This morning during prayer meeting, I was kicked back in my chair, and I guess I was sitting kind of wrong. And, man, I got a terrible pain in my back after everybody left. And I told David, I said, pray for my back. We were out cutting wood on the side of the mountain, snaking logs out with the tractor, going up and down the mountainside with this pain in my back. But I just kept on. I said, it's gone in Jesus' name. It's not going to affect me. And, you know, it was after we got through with all the wood cutting and the splitting and stacking and all of that stuff that I finally realized that the pain was gone. God had taken it away from me. But I had to go through that trial of my faith all day long with it. But it didn't, you know, it was in the back of my mind all the time. And I could tell when I stepped wrong, man, it shoot a pain up my back. It was almost unbearable. But you grit your teeth, you go on, and you thank God for it. And boy, sooner or later, it's got to go. So that's a good testimony I had today. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting here right now in my chair, and there's no pain in my back at all. Praise God for that. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Actually, I had the same thing last night when I was saying I jumped in the shower. Part of that reason was all of a sudden I got this aching in my back, and it was unbearable. It was like it felt like something was just squeezing my muscles or something. I was like, what is this? And I'm trying to adjust myself and get comfortable. And finally, I said, I'm just going to get up and go take a shower. Praise the Lord. I couldn't breathe. I was in all this pain. And I knew I was under attack. And I was just searching my heart. And I got in the shower and just everything broke loose. So, amen. All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Tim.
Hey, Gainol.
Well, I thought of a testimony I had. I guess it happened probably a few weeks ago when we were discussing witchcraft and all that, casting it out and praying against it. And I realized something that I had been experiencing after we did that. I have not had that symptom anymore for several months. It felt like I had a fish hook caught in my lung. And every once in a while, it was just like somebody was pulling and pulling, trying to get that fish hook out. And it was a really sharp pain. And I have not had that since. And I know after we talked about the witchcraft last time, I remembered sometime, it was probably 10 years ago, I had had an issue with my lungs. I wasn't able to sleep, and I just had a really bad cough, and I had this pain. It felt like I had a knife in my back, and I don't know. I put up with it a long time. I was praying that I was healed and believing it, but it wasn't happening. And finally, one day when I was on my way to school, I was just praying in the spirit, and the Lord showed me a hatchet with a feather tied to it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's witchcraft. And so I started praying about that, and I only had like probably 2 or 3 miles before I got to school. By the time I got there, the pain was totally gone. That cough was gone, and that was it. It just, I'm sure the Lord wondered, well, you know, why isn't she asking me what this is? And finally he showed it to me, and I should have thought of that with the fish hook thing in my chest, but I didn't. But anyway, I really, truly believe that it was a witchcraft spirit again that was working with the fish hook this time. And I just wanted to share that because it's gone. Praise the Lord.
Awesome. Now, that's another good point is sometimes we're dealing with something and we don't ask the Lord. You know, sometimes we can be a little hard-headed or just, you know, bear through it. And sometimes if we would just ask the Lord to reveal you know, what the cause is or what's going on. I've learned to do that. When things don't make sense, press into the Lord, ask Him, and sometimes He'll reveal it. And it could be witchcraft, or it could be, you know, you've got judgment or unforgiveness or something like that. And, you know,
I kept thinking it was, and something like that, but I wasn't getting anything on that and believing I was healed, and that it wasn't working. But not until I just totally, you'd almost say I threw my hands up in the air and said, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I don't, you know. And then He showed me the picture, and it was just so clear. And it's like, oh, gosh, I knew right away what it was then when I saw that. And so that's why it felt like I had a knife in my back, because He showed me a hatchet in my back. So anyway.
Awesome.
I'm sure He gets, he wonders why it takes us so long and why we're so, why we'll put up with things.
Yeah,
like
that's true. We are a stubborn bunch, aren't we?
I think I maybe was there. I thought I could figure it out myself, and it wasn't working. But anyway, He did show me, and it was gone just like that. It just, the congestion was gone, the pain was gone, everything was gone. So it's amazing.
Amen.
Anyway,
Thank you, Lord.
Yep,
thank you, Lord.
The Lord.
You are amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He'll show us.
Yeah.
So,
he didn't show me the fish hook, though, but I sure felt it. but then after it was brought up, then it was gone.
Okay. Well, that's a good visual. I mean, you're saying a fish hook in my lungs, somebody's trying to pull it out. And it's like, oh,
that's
what
it felt like. It really did. You know, like they have those little prongs on them. That is exactly what it felt like. And I kept telling Marla, it just feels like I have a fish hook in my chest, in my lung. And but anyway, it's all gone, so praise the Lord.
Awesome, awesome.
That was all I had to share. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. All right, anybody else have a testimony?
Hello?
Hello, Andrew.
Hi. I'm just going to make a testimony about this conference call, actually.
Okay.
Someone mentioned a verse out of Isaiah chapter 11, 1 and 2. And it was an answer to prayer for me, because I wanted to know what in the book of Revelation in John, it mentions the seven spirits there, which I sort of compare to the lamp that's in your temple, the seven lights in there. And I always try to define some words so that my vocabulary could be according to the oracles of God, and I found a really good one for spirit, and I think it's very relevant to all this faith that people want to have. And so I'll just like to read Isaiah 11, the first verse, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And we all know who that is. But now it's going to mention that it's his spirit in the next verse. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. These are these seven spirits that are in your lamp. And that light is written in the first chapter of John, where it says that this life is the light of men, that glory that God shares with you. And, you know, you can't really see a spirit, but this one's for you. And it's going to give you knowledge that's going to improve your faith, because it's a spirit that's in you. Because it comes along with Jesus Christ. It's anointed and holy. And that's the first part there. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And there's the spirit of wisdom, because it's also a light. It's part of your life. And that good judgment that you're going to come up with is going to be that wisdom. But this all has to do with faith. Because if you have an understanding here, it's according to the Spirit. And if it's a faith that comes along with the package of Jesus Christ, then it's his faith. Because in whom we have boldness and access and confidence unto his faith. And his faith there is Jesus, and Jesus told you to have God's faith. So there's a knowledge spirit base there, which is also your light. And if it's your light that he's sharing with you, it's your life according to the first chapter of John. So I think it's very relevant here that this stem of Jesse and a branch, we did a study on branch not too long ago, shall grow out of his roots and rest upon him. And that rest is also in us. So I just think it's very relevant, and this is the first time I had such a definition given to me that that sort of amalgamates everything that we're talking about here. And this is a light in you, and that's what he ignites in you, and gives you that faith to know that this is the knowledge, the Word of God. It's his light, it's his life, and it's for us. And this, I believe, is something that's really going to help me a lot anyway. And I just find it so fascinating that, because, you know, I put a little menorah candle, and I was saying, Lord, you got to show me if these seven spirits are actually your light and your life that you give to us. And when someone mentioned that chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, they even read it. I went, there's my answer after all these years. You know, and I was just excited about it, and I'm still looking at it. And, you know, even like the third verse after that pertains, and I'm just, you know, I don't really have the Old Testament open up to me too much, but just with this one verse, you know, it's going to build from the Word. You know, when the Father speaks a word to you, it creates. You know, you go through your day, and it happens what you asked for. And that's a knowledge base, an understanding base. And it's got the might in there, the strength of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and you're sitting healed, you know. And you go on through your day, and it comes to pass. Sometimes it takes a little longer. Sometimes it happens right away. I would prefer for myself that it would happen right away, you know. Anyways, I hope that helps, because this rod out of the stem of Jesse and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And you know, you're going to bear fruit if you're one of those branches, because we got to look like Jesus. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. You know, just knocking, you will receive, or, you know, whatsoever you ask, you know, he will provide. And it's kind of neat how he does it sometimes. But that's truth. It's just, you know, that you know, wisdom and understanding and his counsel and might and, you know, the knowledge and the fear of the Lord and all that comes in that package. And it's pretty awesome.
No, I was also thinking that, you know, the verse there where you're under guardians and tutors till Christ be formed in you, these are also spirits, you know, you had all your life with you. I don't think they go away when Christ gets formed in you. You know, they were handy guys there, you know. I think they come along, you know. And I think these spirits too here should come along. But it's the Spirit of Christ. And it's in you.
Amen.
So this is opening something up that I think is very prevalent about spirit, word, light, and life. And it is the truth, because it is knowledge. And it's a spirit there, too, that God gives to us, to you, to me, you know. And you speak the word, you ask for it, and you know that it's in his word for you. It's a promise. So, you know, this trying to redefine out of the oracles of God has opened this up to me, and just like light and glory and life, you know, how much emphasis you should put on creation, you know, because the Father speaks something, it creates, it happens. That's
amen.
And that you know is written there in chapter 1 of John. He says it, that he's the Word. And it's mentioned there, you know. It says there, nothing was created that wasn't created by him. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. You speak forth this light, which is his word, and it's his life. That's the life he gave you. That's the word he spoke to you when you got born again. And that's just exciting for me how this is opening up. So many avenues of understanding here now. And this little lamp that he's igniting in us, you know, the lamp of God, every single one of those seven ones, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of the Lord, both anointed and holy, the fear of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord, and the strength of the Lord. I believe that strength has got to have a lot to do with that faith and the agape love. And that's the light of God. That's the Spirit now in you. Because it says here in Isaiah, it's a spirit, and there's seven of them there in that second verse. Isaiah 11, 2. Oh, I'm excited.
You sound excited.
I'm in good shape in a little bit.
it's amazing when the Lord starts opening up. You know, you start seeing in the Spirit, and he starts opening up things you've never seen before. So,
you know, from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Now, Jesus ain't going to give you something that's not faithful, and we all read about him, especially in the Gospels. You know, it's getting me all. Oh yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for this excitement that you've opened up in Andrew, Lord, and opened up his eyes to the, you know, just the spiritual aspects of the, you know, of Christ, and opening his eyes to the prophecies of the Old Testament, Lord. And Father, we just ask you just continue to ignite that excitement, continue to open his eyes and allow him to see your word in the Spirit. And you know, read the Old Testament in the Spirit, and just see the prophecies, and we just thank you for that, Lord. Just bless him and continue to build on this joy, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Lord. And I'd like to add that to all the fellowship and all the people, that we would all continue to grow in this branch, because it says right there in the first verse, you know, grow out of his root, that we would all grow in our own branch and bear the fruit, and of course God will be our husbandman to make sure we get more. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
There's another one just popped in my head. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're a lot of us are going through the pruning right now, so we bear much more fruit on that vine, you know. So, but it's good. So, Father, we all want to grow in you, Lord. And we just thank you for just opening up your revelation knowledge and, guide us with your spirits, Lord. We thank you for that, all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding and all that you put in us through Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else have a testimony or revelation knowledge like Andrew that the Lord's opened up to him, that the Lord's been showing you? Michael Montana, you got anything on your heart tonight?
Well, I was just thinking about, I realized that in many ways there's different aspects of faith. We have certain principles of faith. We're learning to walk by faith, not by sight, as the scripture says in Romans 11. And that's really, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we've learned principles of faith. And some of those things that we've learned as far as principles of faith, they will suffice us in many situations. But I think there's something that's been in my heart lately. I heard something that really has made me very frustrated lately with certain ones that are sitting on people's grave sites endeavoring to get some of what they had. And these are people that have been dead for 100 years or whatever, And I know that many people have sat on John G. Lake's gravesite. But do you know where John G. Lake got it? He didn't get it by sitting on Alexander Dewey's gravesite. He got it by waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he waited and he paid a price. He gave away everything he had, everything he possessed to the poor, in obedience to the Lord as the Lord was dealing with him. And he spent much, much time with the Lord and in the Word. And I believe there's such a thing as building an atmosphere of faith where we're not just, principles of faith are good. It's just like we have many theological positions on many things. Some of it's untested metal, and we're learning in areas to test it. But I believe there's something God wants us to bring us into. And that's where, I talked to these, I read some stories of these men. I know a brother, I met him, who had done 29 40-day fasts. I know a brother in California right now at a nominal church, not nominal in the sense, but a pastor of a traditional church situation. He did 3 40-day fasts last year. And he shared this with me that the Lord had told him they needed to do 3 40-day fasts in a year, and he did it. There's something that happens when people begin to separate themselves unto the Lord. And you can have the principles of faith, but you don't have an atmosphere of faith. You don't have your spirit man built up to such a point where you're walking above the waves. You're just in a place where you're high above the realms of the world's pull and your emotions and the pull of what people are saying and the influence of the demonic forces. You're just in a place above that. And we've tasted of it, all of us, in times that we've, maybe done some a longer fast or separated times unto the Lord. But I believe God wants to take us beyond the principles of faith and bring us to a place where we enter in to an atmosphere of faith, where we have pressed beyond the veil of this natural realm to where that eternal kingdom becomes more real to us than the one we're dwelling in, to where our spirit, man, is so built up on the inside that faith is much easier than unbelief, that we see through the veil of the natural with the eyes of the spirit. And our hearts are beginning to feel the pulse of God's own heart. The burdens of his heart are easy because we're in that place, that abiding place. And I believe that's where Jesus walked. And, I'm convinced he would go out and he'd spend all night in prayer. And then he'd go out and meet the masses the next day. This way, he'd do these kind of things again and again. Even though the people were on him all the time. As he said to Mary, one thing is needful. Or he said to Martha, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that better part. Only one thing is needful. And again and again, we see people that are, there's always, as Tozer says, the tyranny of the urgent. There's always so many things. Got to do this, got to do that, we've got to do this, got to be, do it. And many times, it's very hard for me in this atmosphere of America to assimilate a word like it says in 2 Timothy 2 that says, and no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's a hard word. But I believe in my heart that God's calling the people right now if there's ever been a time, this is the time when we need to come out of this world, and not just, I'm not saying that we're not, we still have obviously things we need to do, but we need to have the prime product, and we need to, everything else needs to be on the back burner. And I believe that even Jesus, meeting people all day long, he had a natural body just like we have, but he had another principle involved. He said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, it says in Isaiah 40. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. When George Whitefield, one day he said to somebody, he says, I have so much to do this day, I think I'm going to have to spend an extra hour in prayer if I'm ever going to get it done. The divine enablement of God. We've all seen times when we've gone out and it seems like we're just bucking a 40-mile-an-hour wind. It just seems like everything we do is a stress and a strain. And we see other times where we just seem like we're walking a foot off the ground. And I know that place, and I believe God wants us to live there. And I believe the Holy Spirit's calling us, like in the fourth chapter of Revelation, come up hither, just rise up, come up higher. And I believe that God wants us, it's one thing to have the principles of faith, but I don't think that's going to carry us through in the incredible storm of darkness that's coming on this world. We need to be in an atmosphere of faith. We need to be in a place where the life of God, we're not talking about, it says, he that believeth in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It didn't say a creek or a mud hole or a little trickle. He said rivers of living water. And we're all familiar with Ezekiel 47 when he says in here, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and the waters were to the ankles, and he measured 1,000, they were to the knees. Measured 1,000, they were to the loins. Measured 1,000 cubits, and the waters were waters to swim in, a great river that could not be passed over, and wherever the river goes, it lives. Everything that touches it lives. And that's, I believe with all of my heart, I've said it before, and I believe with all my heart, I'm ankle deep, but God's calling, and I desire to be a swimming in this river, and to be flowing where it goes, where that river goes, and everything it touches is life. But I believe with all my heart, brothers and sisters, we can have the principles of faith. I don't believe they're going to carry us through. I believe we need to be so full of the Holy Ghost, so filled with the Spirit of God, that everything we do, everything we touch, we're coming from a vital place where it's not just, you know, I'm going to stand, and I believe there's a place for that. But I believe, brothers and sisters, that when we get in the atmosphere of faith, we're entering into that place where we are swimming in deep waters with the Lord, and our hearts are so consumed that Christ becomes, you know the difference between, I'm going to do my time with God, and it's not that we don't do it with earnest and with a sincere heart. But have you been to the place where you just, like the brother, Tom Kruger was testifying how he just got to the place where he wanted to be with God. He just wanted to be, he couldn't hardly wait to get where he wanted to be with the Lord. I've tasted that place. I don't live there. I want to live there. But I've been in a place, and I think that pursuit of God is self-propitiating. The more you partake, the hungrier you get. The hungrier you get, the more you seek. The more you seek, the hungrier you get. And it just is, it's a self-propitiating thing. But there's a place where we break beyond the veil, where we begin to get, where we have a passion for the living God. I read it. You can read The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer if you don't understand that as a working principle. Read that book. I'm sure you can get it online, or you can get it anywhere. It's a very common book. But The Pursuit of God. He's talking about men that have come to the place where they had a passion for the living God. I started a book one time about a brother that went into Nepal and Tibet. And this book started with these three words. It says, I am a man with a passion for God. That right there, I said, I want to read this book, you know. But this man had a passion for the living God. God doesn't want us, he wants us to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What we do with gusto. What we do with all of our heart. What we do with fervency. And our hearts are there. We don't have to drag our carcasses to prayer. We got to read the word. I should read a chapter or read through a book today, or I should. It's our deepest desire. And I believe God wants to take a people right now, and I believe there's grace that's being measured out right now to a people to go where they've never been, where people have never been, where they have that. Everything that Jesus walked in, he said, you can walk in the same and greater things than these that are you going to do. When Jesus went out and all night continued with the Father, it was no duty for him. It was life. It was necessary. It was the very vital interaction of his spirit with the living God. It was life to his soul, life to his flesh. It was everything. And I believe with all my heart, God wants to take us there. And we need to be, we understand the principles. I have a lot of the principles. And we can know the book, and that's good too. I believe we should. But there's that place where we get in, up to, we don't get in up to our ankles. We don't get in up to our knees. And I can tell you what, God invites us. Whosoever will, let him come. He that hungers, let him come, and I will give unto him. Everyone that hungers and thirsts will be filled. He didn't say going to get a little bit. He's just going to get filled. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to get filled. You seek him with all your heart, you're going to find him. You earnestly contend, you're going to have the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I believe that we need to break through. There's our natural man. Ever since the Garden of Eden, one thing has been consistent. God, man has been hiding, and God has been seeking. It's in our nature to hide from the presence of the Lord. When he had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Eve had, they sewed themselves fig leaves to hide themselves from the presence of God. And people in that state are very religious. They can do all kinds of wonderful things. They can serve. They can do principles. They can give. They can tithe. They can all the things that people do. But I'll tell you what. There's something in the nature of man. It's in our fallen nature that wants to hide from the presence of God. It's in our nature to hide from the presence of God. In our natural man. I'm not speaking of our newborn creature in Christ. But sometimes that little fella is malnourished while the other man is getting chunky. And we need to be in a place where we have, like it says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. It says in Isaiah 55, I think it is. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Fatness, fatness. We need to be in a place where our souls are fat. We don't want our flesh to be fat. We want our souls to be fat. We want to be in a place, brothers and sisters, where we are prospering in the Spirit, where we are alive in God. And you want your anointing? You're not going to get it by reading the book of somebody else. They may be able to point you. A good message, a man can point you. But all they can do is point you back to the source of life. They can point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. They can point you to that abiding place in the Holy Spirit of God within you. They can point you to that abiding place, but all they can do is point you. You want life, it comes from him. You got to get it personally. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom. You got to get it personally. And I believe it was interesting what the Samaritan woman, when they asked the Samaritan woman, or she said to them, is this not the Christ that told me all things whatsoever I've done? And the people went out and said, and heard him, and then they came back and said, now do we believe not for thy testimony, but we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ of God. Nobody else's testimony is enough. You can't believe on anybody else's testimony. They can point you, but you're going to have to drink deeply at the fountain of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is still wanting to fill us. And remember, I know people, and I'm one of them, say, hey, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1970. That's very nice. In the book of Acts, they got baptized again and again and again. You can see it again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. These are guys that had just been filled with the Holy Ghost. And they've been filled again with the Holy Ghost. We need to be in that place, brothers and sisters, where we're not just, it's not something that happened back in 1942, back in 1958. No. This Wednesday, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, that needs to be our testimony. That needs to be, again, the Lord baptized me. And again, because it's available. The question is, are we hungry? Are we thirsty? Are we separating ourselves from this world enough that the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the prime product of our desire, the passion of our heart? Because, brothers and sisters, you need to live the way the overcomers in this hour are not just going to have the principles of the Word. They're going to be walking so full of the Holy Ghost, they're going to have the atmosphere of faith. They're going to be in a place where unbelief is impossible to them. Because the Holy Ghost is so alive, so flowing, not a creek, not a mud hole. Rivers of living water.
Amen. Amen. What a good message here, Michael.
Ditto.
So, Father, we just ask, Lord, we want that hunger for you, Lord. We want to be in the atmosphere of faith, Lord. Father God, we just want it to be easy as far as to just walk in faith, Lord, and not to fight against unbelief, but just to be in faith all the time, Lord. And Lord, we know that that's where Jesus walked, and that's where we want to walk. And Lord, we don't want any of the cares of this world. We want Jesus and more of Jesus in us, Lord. And Lord, just give us the strength and the audacity to wait on you and to hunger for you and to come up higher, Lord, just to enter in with you, Lord. And Father, we don't want to be waiting in the river. We want to jump in and be swimming in that river, Lord. And we just want to be totally filled with the Holy Ghost and be to the point where nothing else matters, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for just putting in us that hunger, Lord, that hunger to run after you, Lord. And Father God, we just we want those fat souls that Michael's talking about. We want our soul to be fat and not our flesh, Lord. And we want our flesh to be dead and our soul to be fat. And that, you know, fatness is of you and your anointing, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for just putting that in us, Lord. And we thank you for Brother Michael and the words he brings forth, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I got charged up on that one. Amen.
Add something to that. This is Leona. We all become a manifestation of what we're eating off of our spiritual tables within. And we all will take on the image of where we perceive ourselves to be, in whether it's in the spirit or through self-analyzation or through how we judge ourselves or critique ourselves. But the Lord deals with me a lot about word perfect. And when you line your speech up with who you are in Christ, then you can only see yourself as pure, lovely, and beautiful, and of a good report in association with Christ, sanctified, justified, glorified, a good report in the presence of the Lord. There is joy forevermore. He's the fountain of delights. Those words aren't dead. We wrestle with where we perceive ourselves to be. And that house is desolate. When it went down into the baptismal waters, only Christ came up. We're only to live in association with who Christ is. You know, sometimes before I would kind of be meditating, and I'd wonder, why am I downcast? Why should there be any frustration or anxiety? And I say, Lord, I'm not from below. I'm from above. Who am I one flesh with right now? What did I eat in the spirit? And I think, oh my golly, how did I get here in this state or this valley of anxiety or in this state of frustration or in this state of wherever, you know? When my true country, my true state of mind, state of being, is in heaven, is living and abiding in the love of my Savior, having sweet fellowship, and if I find myself somewhere else, it's because I ate off of the wrong table. And the goal is to keep eating. Father, my food is to do thy will. And that's not something I can feed myself. That's only something I can rest and receive from him continually and abide in his love and let everything else burn off. Because it is a dead thing. It'll always be the enemy trying to get you to look at yourself, to find yourself in your old image, and then he's able to rob you take your crown. Our fellowship is with the Lord. And those words aren't dead, but they're alive. And they should be causing us to rejoice continually because they have promises there. And no matter how much the old man keeps saying, hey, look, I'm still alive, you're still in that rotten situation, I say, well, not for long, because I'm not going to be manifesting this reality for much longer, because now I'm eating the joy of the Lord, and I know that my Savior lives, and I know those words were raised from the dead, and I am one flesh with the resurrected Christ, and I'm seated at the right hand of God. And my joy is unspeakable and full of glory by faith, and because I'm abiding in that continually, that's all there is to eat in my home, my temple, now. And that is the image I choose to take on. I just eat it by faith, and the Lord is the power that creates the flesh around it as I rest my trust in Jesus' name. So, you know, you can enjoy the beauty of holiness. You can enter in right now. You can rejoice in the Lord always and have the fullness of joy now. If you mix the word with faith, believing, you can break through any barrier of depression or addiction or sadness or whatever, anxiety, because it doesn't exist in Christ.
Amen. So that's so what I'm getting. I mean, what you is you know, you are what you eat. You know, if it's of the world or of the word, you become what you eat, and you are what you speak. If it's blessings or if it's cursings, and you become who you believe you are. You know, either you believe you're overtaken or you believe you're an overcomer, but it comes down to your faith. Amen.
Exactly. Amen. And I don't want to fashion myself into an angel of light, but you know, you have to rest in who Christ is and what he's already done for you. I'm not commanding my day and telling the Lord what my day will look like, you know. I'm not commanding my wallet to be filled because Father might not have need of it. But I am saying I possess the wealth of the nations. If Father have need of something, I'll have it. So that causes me to be at rest because I'm not alive according to my will anymore. I'm alive according to Father's will through me. So it causes me to rest knowing that if he hath need of something, the money will just come supernaturally. If I know that I can always rise up and walk, unless I'm willfully sinning or rebellious, you know. But, you know, if you're fine in that area, you can always rise up and walk because healing is the children's bread. That's our food.
Amen.
We are one flesh with healing. And if the body's dead because of sin, where does infirmity have any oxygen to breathe? It's only Christ in you, and I can't imagine that Christ would have sickness or disease or cancer or whatever, you know. Like I said, the Lord has commanded us to walk as Christ does in the earth, but to do it, we have to become fools. And we have to see ourselves already and conform our words up perfectly with, no, wait a minute, I'm glorified already. And
yeah.
And that will bruise your brain immediately, but you must do it or else you're putting confidence in your flesh. So, okay, Lord, you know, my food is to do thy will. So let's walk as Jesus Christ did, and then when the Lord tells you to do something, no matter what, he's going to give you the ability to do it. And that is where you start walking in the Spirit, you know.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Leona. That was wonderful.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Michael.
I got a brother here that we go back 45 years. He's visiting Montana right now, and his name is Richard. And I wanted to give you a chance to visit with him for a minute. And he wants to share something too a little bit here. Just a second.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Hi, brother. Good
hey,
day,
Richard.
Okay.
Go ahead and share away. Get something on your heart.
Yeah. Just good to be up here. It's really good to be spending some time with my friend Michael and wife. And glad to be out of the mess down in the big city. And kind of one prayer request that I have is that my wife's not in full agreement with me on my decisions right now. And so I just, you know, appreciate you guys praying for me. My husband and wife should be in same accord, and so I'm just struggling with that right now. So I just appreciate your prayers for me, and I appreciate your program very much. And so anyway, I thank you for the time, and I hope we will be able to talk again very soon on this. So anyway, I'll return you to Michael, and thank you very much, brother. I appreciate your prayers.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and pray. So if anybody, you know, just everybody join their faith in together with Richard. And so, Father, you know Richard's needs. You know what is going on with his wife. You know the lies that she's believing or the fears that she has or the insecurities. And, Lord, we just ask you just to do a work in here right now, Lord. Whatever it is that is keeping her from, you know, just being in one accord with her husband, Richard, we ask, Lord, that you just work in her and just give her a dream, just meet her where she's at. If she needs more faith, we ask you to infuse her with that faith, Lord. And Father God, we just bind up any principalities and powers of, you know, that are have influence over her. We come against double-mindedness. We come against fear. We come against any anxieties or anything that might be on her to step out in faith. And Lord, we just thank you for delivering her and setting her free. And we thank you for blessing that marriage, that they're going to be in one accord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you place a love in Richard's wife for him like she's never known before, Lord, that would overcome the fears, overcome the questions that she has, Lord, and that she would want to be with him no matter what, because he is the authority in that family, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, also that you're placing great and deep faith into Richard to believe that after these prayers tonight that his wife is going to come to him in Jesus' name. And Lord, we praise you and glorify you and thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in him and also his wife. And we praise you, Lord, for all you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. I hook my faith up with Tim's and Richard's both in their prayers and believing for Richard's wife in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It is done.
Thank you, dear brother.
Love you, man. All right, anybody else have anything that's on their heart they'd like to share? Any dreams? Revelation, anything? I can
Revelation.
Share some.
Revelation. Hey, Revelation, revival's coming, praise God. And that's something we all need to pray for. Is revival, praying for revival to come. You know, I was reading today. I'll have to think just a moment where it was, but where it was the Lord that was telling us to pray for revival and pray it in here and that he would do it. He's going to do it. All we have to do is pray and believe, right? So I'm praying and I'm believing because, man, we all need revival. And I'm praying, I'm believing it starts right here. you know, with us here, with the UBM local and with the outreach also. And I thank you, Lord, that revival is going to come. You've already got it planned, and we're going to see it soon in Jesus' name. Praise God. We all need revival, don't we? That's the anointing of God, the heavy anointing of God of the former rain. And the former rain would come up and be at full measure, not at half, not at a quarter, not even a three quarter. It's going to be running over and affecting everybody around us. And when you go to preach the gospel, people are going to fall down and repent all out in the streets. Praise God. We believe that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right,
amen,
I just
amen,
had to get
amen.
That off my chest.
Sound excited, Michael.
You know, when you talk about revival, man, that is bringing people out of the dead and bringing them back to life in Christ. And I'm telling you, that's awesome.
Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else have something on their heart? I was going to bring something up, and I had, you know, from time to time, we get questions or, you know, run into situations. And what it does for me is it causes me to press into the Word and, you know, just kind of, you know, get a Bible study and see where the Lord really is directing a certain situation or, you know, whatever you're up against. But I had a situation where a young lady, basically what had happened was, is that, you know, she comes from a Christian family, more church, you know, churchy Christian than anything else. She was led to UBM by somebody else that was in UBM. She started to step out in faith, and, you know, it was kind of exciting because she was kind of a baby Christian in the faith, and just over the years of knowing her, you just see answered prayers and miracles and just a lot of exciting things that were happening, you know, in her life and when, you know, she started stepping out in faith. But the home that she came out of was, you know, was kind of a lot of turmoil, a lot of you know, issues as far as in the home. And what happened was is that her mom basically you know, got on Facebook and started getting in contact with old friends and stuff like that. And the bottom line is she met a man on Facebook and ended up divorcing her husband. And, you know, to, you know, run off with this new boyfriend. And the thing is that, you know, her mom was turned on to this ministry, did listen for a while. You know, I remember one story where, you know, she was hearing the testimonies on faith. And one day they had a tornado heading towards their house, and her and her probably 12-year-old son went out on the patio and started rebuking this tornado. And the 12-year-old son, from listening to the tapes, was saying, "No, Mom, you need to command it. You need to command it." And that tornado took a turn and didn't come to their house. So there was a time that she was walking in faith as far as the mom. And you know, the dad's walking as much, you know, he's kind of tied in with, you know, more of the church and more into works and stuff like that. But the thing is they've got, you know, they proclaim to be Christians. And the situation is now that this young lady says, you know, her mom wants to come visit her and bring her boyfriend. And this young lady's husband is not in agreement with it. You know, he feels that she's not a good example of marriage, and, you know, he's taking marriage seriously. And, you know, the mom is, you know, because last time she wanted to come visit, he said no. the mom tried to bring strife into the marriage, and the other thing is he really sees how, you know, her running off with this other guy has really affected his wife's dad, you know, because he was crushed through this whole thing because he was really in love with his wife. But, you know, I was able to meet them a couple times and got to know both of them before this happened. And, you know, it was a situation where, you know, there's definitely some insecurities there. There's definitely some rejection there. The mom wants to be the little princess. And honestly has a little control issue over her, you know, where, you know, she kind of, you know, it's all about her and that. So, you know, just from the things that I've just experienced or seen as far as in, you know, in this family. But, so the daughter was, you know, basically it said that, you know, yeah, mom, you can come by and visit. And then really what happened was she felt, she didn't feel comfortable with it because of the situation and because of her husband. And I think he was probably just, because it's her mom, you know, let's let her come and visit. And, but still the Lord was just still putting uneasiness in her. And then the Lord led her to First Corinthians 5, and then she called up her mom and said, "Mom, I just, you know, it's just not right. You're in fornication. I don't want that in my house. I don't want to be associated with that. I don't want to be put under the curse." And, you know, right away, the manipulation, the guilt, I mean, it was just trying to get her way. Well, what if I die? You'll never see me again. Or, you know, all these manipulation and just trying to get her way and, you know, cause strife. And it was kind of good because this young lady pretty much stood up to her mom and says, "No, mom." And her mom's saying, "Well, what if we don't have sex while we're there?" You know, I mean, just stupid stuff like this, just trying to, you know, just to, you know, come and get her way. And finally, the daughter just put her foot down. And it's a tough thing to do, you know, to say no to your mom, you know, in a situation like that. So I had talked to her and you know, kind of shared some things. And then I looked up some different scriptures and ended up getting into, you know, just a little bit of a Bible study about, you know, fornication and adultery. And I was just seeing where, you know, basically fornication is the incontinence or lewdness of an unmarried person, you know, meaning without self-control, unrestrained, powerless in moral sense. And I was really seeing it, you know, was where in this situation, the flesh has overpowered the spirit man, and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and the pleasures of having sex are more important than walking and being pleasing to God. And it's really a form of idolatry. You know, it's just basically forsaking the true God and worshiping, you know, this idol that you found on Facebook. And, you know, adultery is, you know, the violation of the marriage bed or being unfaithful. And that that unfaithfulness is basically, you know, being or acting or being in unbelief, you know, being unbelieving or faithless, you know, that the passions of the lust are so lust is so powerful that you know, no longer walk in the faith of God or have the fear of the Lord. You know, you're just running after your lusts, you know, as far as that. So I looked up some scriptures, and, you know, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passions of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not God." And Hebrews 13 says, "Let marriage be had in honor among all, and let the bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And as I went through this, I was really seeing how God was, you know, pretty serious about, you know, adulterers and fornicators. But Colossians 3 says, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon sons of disobedience. And, the social media that's out there and the pornography that's out there, you know, all just feeds in to that, you know, to feed the lust and to get you into being, you know, sons of disobedience. And, you know, Jesus pretty much set the bar pretty high when he said that, you know, even looking on a woman to lust after her commits adultery with her already in his heart. You know, so, you know, those the social media is out there, the internet out there, you know, all that just feeds into the lust of the heart. And when I looked up divorce, I looked up in Mark 10, it says, and there came unto him Pharisees and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, trying him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered or allowed to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. But Jesus said unto them, for your hardness of heart he wrote to you this commandment. I really saw it was because of the hardened hearts or the stubbornness of man or the stubbornness of you know, these Pharisees, you know, them and their unbelief of the, you know, the word of God or that, you know, Moses finally, you know, just allowed them to, you know, to separate. But in Matthew 19 and 8 says, for your hardness of heart suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it hath not been so. So really, divorce was never allowed from the beginning. And it goes on to say, but from the beginning of creation, male and female made he them. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no more two, but one flesh. And when I looked at that, I was seeing that when a man and woman marry, you know, he's saying they become one flesh. You know, it's they become one body with, you know, separate souls and spirits. But as far as, you know, they're one body at that part. And each of their carnal natures are kind of mixed into one and affects both. You know, because when it, you know, if you've got a, you know, an issue with your spouse, it becomes your issue. As far as that, once you come into that marriage, and you know, Paul even said that in your flesh dwells no good thing. And you know, typically when we're dating, and you know, we're able to put to death our flesh to make a good impression on the other person, but the longer you are together, the more the flesh is exposed. So in the beginning, you know, when you're lusting after that other person, or you want the other person in your life and all that, I mean, I see it as, you know, it's a form where you put your flesh to death, but over time, you know, your flesh is exposed, and you see those things that, you know, are hidden in that. And but if a husband and wife are running after the Lord, and they're putting to death their flesh, you know, especially if they're doing it together, and they're each manifesting Christ, you know, that marriage will be, you know, full of Christ. It will be full of love without conditions. And that's, you know, really why we're told, you know, not to be unequally yoked. You know, that's why it's important that when we do marry, that we're equally yoked, and that's with, you know, with Christ, and with the same, you know, dying to flesh, and, you know, same understanding, not religion, but with Christ. And, you know, it goes on to say, what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And that includes either the spouses, the husband or the wife, you know, the mother-in-law, the sisters, the marriage counselors, all that. I mean, just, you know, there's a lot of people have opinions about marriage and stuff like that. And I've seen in the past where people were getting marriage advices from people that were divorced. And it's like, I mean, it's just, you know, it's craziness. But it goes on to say, in the house of the disciples asked again of the matter, and he said unto them, whatsoever should put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. And if she herself shall put away her husband and marry another, she commits adultery. So basically, if you divorce your spouse and marry another, you're committing adultery. And the only clause that is in there is for fornication. And it says, I say unto you, and this is Matthew 19:9, it says, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her when she is put away commits adultery. So we see, you know, fornication is a clause, but it is fornication without repentance and forgiving. And I know quite a few marriages that there's been, you know, in the past, you know, one or the other spouse had had an affair, you know, when they weren't getting along, or, you know, before they came to the Lord, or, you know, something like that. But, you know, they were able to work, you know, work through their differences with Christ, and their marriages have been restored, and they have, you know, amazing marriages today. So really, it starts with true repentance on one side, and, you know, that's not just saying you're sorry, but totally having a total change of mind and change of ways, and, you know, not making excuses or blaming anybody, you know, else but yourself, you know, for what happened. Then forgiveness has to take root, and the willingness and the mindset to forgive, because without forgiveness, there's no healing or deliverance. And basically, if you're in unforgiveness, you're going to be turned over to the tormentors, and you're going to end up living a life of anger and bitterness, and you'll end up spending eternity in hell. And that's really what happened in this situation, is back when this, you know, this mom and husband were younger, you know, way back there was an affair, and she said that she, at that time, she fell out of love with him and has never forgiven him. So all this time she's lived with unforgiveness towards her husband, and the marriage and the children and the whole situation has been going through the strife and anger and all that over the years because of lack of unforgiveness. So, you know, I saw where, you know, a woman caught in adultery under the law was put to death. But when they went to stone the woman, Jesus said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And Jesus looked at the, you know, the adultery as a sin of the flesh. And the religious leaders and the scribes and the Pharisees knew that they were full of sin and could not throw that stone. And when, you know, when they all left, Jesus said to the woman, that woman, where are they? Do no man condemn thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way. From henceforth, sin no more. So I really saw where, you know, she was caught in adultery and Jesus did not condemn her. You know, after sparing her life, he told her to go, you know, go on her way and sin no more. You know, he forgave her of her sin, and, you know, which the law gave her, you know, the death penalty. And that's what we are to do, you know, is to forgive. And we're not to get, you know, condemned. We're not to get angry, get even.
Well, all right. I don't know what happened.
Michael, may I make a comment?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I just want to say one thing to remember is that in 2 Corinthians 7:10, he says this. He says, "Godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness worked in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what revenge, what vehement desire, what zeal, in all things you've approved yourself clear in this matter." We cannot presume on the grace of God, any of us. We need to walk in the fear of the Lord. And I know people right now that have run off with another honey, and they think that they are fine under the grace of God, and that they've asked forgiveness, but they're now leaving a treacherous mess behind, and busted up children, busted husbands, and running off with the new younger model. And but they don't know that God has departed from them, and you can see it all over their life and all over their countenance. There's not, God is not with them. Period. They are still living in adultery, and there's not the repentance that brings change. And I believe with all our heart we need to flee from sin, and walk in the fear of the Lord in carefulness, because we can none of us presume that on the grace of God. It's a gift of mercy that God gives us, repentance. It's and you know, repentance, true repentance, has those kind of fruits, 2 Corinthians 7:10. That's the kind of fruit of true repentance, and we need to walk in that kind of carefulness with the Lord, and not, because when people just say, "Hey, I got a plan, I'm going to do this thing, and then I'll just ask God to forgive me," they may think they're forgiven, and they go right on in deception. But we need to walk a very straight and narrow line with the Lord in these matters.
Amen. I agree totally. There's Tim. He made it back.
Yeah, I just lost. I just lost internet.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I dropped out. So, anyways, I don't know where I dropped out. Trish just came in, but I guess I can. Basically, what I was seeing in this whole thing is that, you know, Jesus forgave, you know, when it came up to, you know, the woman in adultery. And the situation with this mom is that she's been in unforgiveness all her life because of an affair that the dad supposedly had when they were young. And that was before they came to Christians and all that. So really the, you know, the whole situation here was, in 1 Corinthians, you know, it talks about the, you know, what to do with somebody in fornication. And it, it says that, let me just get to 1 Corinthians 5 and 2. You know, it basically says it was reported that somebody was with their, you know, another man's wife, and you know, he called them puffed up and arrogant because they didn't do anything about it, and they did not mourn or grieve about it. That he that, you know, has done the deed or the fornication might be taken away from among you. And he goes on in 2 Corinthians, says, "I should mourn for many of them that have sinned heretofore and repented not of their uncleanness and fornication, lasciviousness, which they committed." And that's really what this situation was, is the mom was not repenting. She was making excuses. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 5 and 3, "For verily I, being absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already, as though I were present, judged him that has so wrought this thing." And, you know, Paul wasn't there physically, but he was saying that we need to judge this, you know, willful disobedience, this, you know, this fornication. And he talks about, you know, delivering such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And, you know, fornication is, you know, is a lust of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So the ultimate goal is to shame them or turn them over so that, you know, salvation can come, so they can repent. And, you know, so that was the ultimate goal was, you know, to bring, you know, them to salvation, bring them to truth, because the, you know, wages of sin is death spiritually and eternally. And, you know, he goes on to saying, you know, talking about purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. And when I looked up leaven, it was kind of interesting because it says it's a massive sourdough, which mixed with a larger quantity of dough or paste produces fermentation in it and renders it light. So I was really seeing that. And then when I looked up fermentation, it says it may be defined in its most general sense, any spontaneous change which takes place in animal or vegetable substance after life has ceased. And I was seeing that a person in willful disobedience, basically their life has ceased and they become sour. And if they're mixed in with the larger quantity of dough, and really that dough is mixed up, you know, made up of grain, you know, which is the fruit, water, which is the word, and a little bit of salt, you know, you mix somebody in that soured amongst the dough, and they're going to leaven the whole lump. And another definition was anything which makes a general change in the mass. So, you know, we're really told, you know, 1 Corinthians goes on to say, in 5 and 9, says, I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company with fornicators, not at all, meaning with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous of extortioners, or with the idolaters, for them must ye needs go out of the world. And what he's saying is you can't judge the people that are in the world if you're not to have company with fornicators. He's saying you'd have to leave the world because the world is full of fornicators. But as it is, I wrote unto you to keep company if any man is named a brother or a Christian, be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or reviler or drunkard or extortioner, such one know not eat. So we're told not to eat with these fornicators, but it's kind of tough when it's your mom, you know. If she was of the world, it would be a little bit different. And I had a situation this week where I met a niece of a friend of mine, and she was openly gay, and she was with her partner, and I was able to share a little bit of my testimony with her, and I was able to show her the love of Christ, and I didn't judge her because I knew that she was without, and I didn't judge her partner, but I just shared my testimony, and I just shared the love of Jesus. And what happened was after that meeting, she shared with me that some of the things that I spoke to her had touched her, and, you know, it's got her to think about some things. And it turned out to be, there was some seeds planted there. So I was just seeing through this whole thing that when we're faced against hard decisions, are we going to trust in the Lord, or are we going to, you know, trust in our emotions, our family, and stuff like that? So it was kind of an interesting thing. But she stood, you know, this young lady stood tough with her mother, and we're praying for her salvation. So I would like to just pray for her and then just close out the night. So, Father, we thank you for working in this young lady's mom. We just ask you just bring a conviction over her, Lord, that you'd bring her to the fullness of you, that you show her the errors of her way, that we show her, the, you know, that she's running after the lusts of her flesh, that the, you know, the idols that are in her life, Lord, that she's looking for another man to fulfill her needs, and when this man doesn't make her happy, she's going to need another one. And, Lord, it's only going to be you that is going to take out that emptiness and fulfill that need. So, Lord, we pray for her true salvation. We pray that you will just put the fear of the Lord in her and turn her to you. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we praise you for that miracle in Jesus' name. Well, does anybody else have any last prayer before we close out? Any needs for that? Let's go ahead and close out. Father, we thank you for this awesome night tonight. We thank you for just everything that was brought forward, Lord. We thank you for just the revelation knowledge that you showed Andrew, Lord. And we just thank you for working in that Elizabeth, that for your glory, Lord. And we thank you for all that you're doing in answering prayers and just bringing us all into your fullness, Lord. Just bless everybody in the conference tonight and just guide them this week. Give them a hunger for truth in your word and open their spiritual eyes. So we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, everybody have a blessed week, and we will catch you next week. God bless.
God bless you, Tim.